Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
Do you have any, is there any intelligence out there at all?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here. It's 97.5 and 92.5. A couple of things, Dell, got to ask you. Elijah Arroyo and Del, and Lance, I'm watching him at the Senior Bowl yesterday, the tight end out of Miami. Dell, what'd you think of him?
Well, he was a promising prospect out of Texas, and then he had a couple lower leg injuries that kind of took him out for a year plus. He finally got healthy this year. He was a big-time seam threat. He's a tight end who can run routes like a big receiver. So, excuse me. So, if anyone's looking for that type of player, you're going to love him. You could see him get healthier as the year went on, getting back to what people thought he would be when he was a freshman. So, I know there's a lot of clips out there of what he did at practice yesterday. So, yeah. I liked him. He just wasn't healthy for a lot of his career.
What about Restrepo?
He's a typical he's actually kind of like a tough guy wide receiver. He's built like a running back more than anything else. He's squatty. He all-time leader in receptions at Miami, broke all those records. I don't know where he's going to land in the draft, but he's not ultra fast. He's going to work on the inside, short area type stuff, so he's probably a day three pick. I don't think he's going to run very fast.
Yeah. Yeah, squatty, doesn't run fast, probably day three.
Do you want to talk about Restrepo?
Yeah. And then
Dell just wouldn't say he's typical white wide receiver.
Well, he's not white, that's why.
Xavier Restrepo? Oh, he's Latin American, I guess?
Yes.
He's kind of.
Well. White. Well.
Okay. He's not white. His dad at least isn't white.
Is he Cuban? You got me on a technicality.
Okay, so wait a minute. If you look more white, even though, why can't you be white?
I think his mother is white, but his dad is, I don't know what.
I think you have to check the white box, and then you go to ethnicity. Race, I think you have to check white. It's so dumb. And then ethnicity, you go Hispanic or whatever. But regardless, he's the crafty route runner. He is thicker though. Like, he is bigger than most of those like quote unquote little slots. He's a good player. He's a good little player. He's just not going to run fast, but he is a really good player. Good hands, really tough. I like him. He had some good reps out there. The guy that I like for the Texans a lot is Jalen Royals out of Utah State. He's 210 pounds, almost 6 feet tall. He's built like a running back, like really thick, lower trunk, you know, quads. Like, he, when he catches the ball, he's very strong. So you have a hard time dealing with him. And he's one of those guys that can be a big, strong, physical slot receiver and a matchup problem. He's a possession player over the first two levels. So CJ could find him with throws in the slot. Like, instead of having the 140-pound slot guy, you could have a guy that's 210 and strong that doesn't get hurt as easily. So that's just something to keep an eye on, is Jalen Royals from Utah State as a
Royals.
Third or fourth rounder, probably.
And what do you? And just quickly, what do you think of Gunnar Helm?
I like Gunnar Helm fine. He's not a great blocker. He's like an average blocker. People get really hyped up on him, but there's like Mason Taylor from LSU.
I like him.
What's his name? Yeah, I like him a lot, man. He's good.
Yeah, I like him a lot.
There's some Mason Taylor I've got going in the second round. Colston Loveland, I've got a first round tight end grade on him from Michigan. And then Tyler Warren will be, you know, he'll be one of the top eight picks, I think. Grant, I think Colston Loveland will be gone probably before the Texans draft, maybe not. And then Mason Taylor's the second-round tight end. But I like all of those guys more than Gunnar Helm. And then Gunnar Helm, I think, is more of a like a third round type tight end. I like him. I like him fine. You know, he's a good wide receiver. He'll be a good starter. Needs to get a little bit stronger as a blocker, but he has some reps where he does okay. Like, he'd be a big upgrade as a blocker over Dalton Schultz. But if I'm the Texans, back into the third, I'd take a look at Gunnar Helm there probably.
Yeah. David wants to know when you see LaCroix Dawson coming off the board.
LaCroix Dawson's not a real player, and he knows that he's not a real player. And while the name sounds like he could be an actual player that played at the East-West Shrine Game,
right,
he knows that that's not a player, and he tries to trick me every time with this.
Huh. That seems like he would be a real player. I don't know. It seemed like I was going to say I liked him. I liked his tape, but I didn't say anything. Goodness.
Oh, here's two other tight ends to keep an eye on for the Texans. One of them is kind of wiry, long. He's 6'6". Thomas Fidone. I think is how it's pronounced, from Nebraska. I talked to Matt Rule about him because he will get after you on tape, and I was asking about him. He goes, this guy is really tough, really physical. So he's 6'4 and 3/8", but he's got the wingspan of a 6-foot player. He's 241 pounds. But he's a tough physical blocker, but he needs to put on about 10 to 12 more pounds. But I think he could be an eventual starter for the Houston Texans if he can get stronger and maybe play the Dalton Schultz role. And then the other one, who's not a blocker at all, really, well, he tries a little bit, is the guy that our guy Five Star loves. And a lot of people remember him. You saw him, is Harold Fannin out of Bowling Green. Dude, Harold Fannin, it's real weird. He's like got this stiff running. When he runs, he's got these stiff, straight legs, but he's fast. And he gets open, and he's the one that had, like, he's 6'3", 238 pounds. But his production this year was off the charts. Like, guys, teams couldn't stop him. I think he put it on LSU, if I remember correctly, this year. I think Harold Fannin is the one who, he's from Bowling Green. And I'll give you an idea of his stats, John. He's 20 years old right now. He had, no big deal, just 117 catches and 1,500 yards receiving this year. No big deal. Just led the nation in both categories.
Huh. That's nice. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, we got a caller. Dell, who's on the line? Rodney wants to get in here. Let's get him in here.
Sports, fellas. Not enough school talk going on. We got a Houston guy playing in the second Super Bowl in the last three years. The city needs to get behind him. I even feel like we should do a pump it up the Friday. Anyway,
Jalen Hurts, pump it up,
John. Why
pump it up for another team? He wants us to pump it up for a Houston area quarterback.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts,
but he doesn't play for our team.
But he's from Houston.
For a Houston area,
I know, but what's the rules on people getting pumped up, though?
But he doesn't play for our team.
Okay, you got to turn your radio off. I got to shut it down, Dell. Dell, what's the rules on, can we pump it up for Jalen next Friday?
Because he's from the area, we need to pump it up.
Yeah.
So if there's any Chiefs,
I don't know, but Kansas City has guys from the area too.
Yeah, if there's any Chiefs who happen to be from here, do we pump it up for them too?
Oh, you want what's his name, the defensive end, the Texans?
Charles Omenihu?
Omenihu. You want Omenihu? Is that what
I'm
want
asking,
to pump it up for?
Is it the thing where we pump it up for anyone with Houston
ties?
No,
I'll tell you what. Let's pump it up for the nation and get the Chiefs out of here. Cuz I'm sick of them. I'm tired of Patrick Mahomes. I'm tired of Kelce. I'm tired of Taylor Swift. I'm tired of them all, okay? Beat it. We need to pump it up because we need to end this run where Patrick Mahomes is now the GOAT. Oh, he's the GOAT.
You know, even if they lose, they're not going anywhere, right?
Yeah, they are. They're beat it.
Is Patrick Mahomes retiring after the Super Bowl?
Well, Travis Kelce should.
No.
Then win or lose, they're not going anywhere because he will still be there. Except reality, sorry. John. They're going to be a pain in your ass for the next decade because he will still be there.
Listen, he can't do it. I think he wasn't great this year. He wasn't even a Pro Bowl quarterback.
And yet, where is he?
He's in the Super Bowl because of their defense.
And is the defense going anywhere?
Yeah, they're going. They're leaving.
Okay.
They're leaving. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that there you have it. There you have it. When we come back, let's talk Rockets. Okay? We've ignored them long enough. Okay? We need to talk some Rockets here. And I need to talk about Nico Nico's. I need to talk about catering at NicoNico's.com. Where are you watching the big game? Do you have your food plans yet? How about the wonderful menu? I'm telling you, the Yitos are the burgers are as good a burger as you're going to find. I am not even exaggerating this. They brought them in, and I'm telling you, this burger is as good as it gets. But you got all of the Greek food. You want the shish kebab, you can get that. You want lukamades, the dessert, the honey-dipped. I mean, it's fantastic. It's all of it. All of their food is fantastic. You've got appetizers. You've got great wings. We've had their wings before. I'm telling you, if you're looking for a great place, you go to the OPA app, OPA, download the OPA app, and whatever you buy, you get rewarded for with free food at some point. But you go to catering at NicoNicos.com, too, and you can have your event catered. Or if it's just like three, four, five of you, order it from Nico Nico's. Have you had a Greek Super Bowl yet? No, you have not had a Greek big game yet. So let's go. Get the Nico Nico's. You're looking for a great place to get your food on. I-45 in Research Forest, I-10 and the Beltway, and, of course, on Westheimer in Montrose. Just the best. It's the best Greek food in the city. It's Nico Nico's. All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If you're having a hard time hearing us at 97.5 or 92.5, go to 97.9. And then hit the plus button on your radio there, and it'll get you to HD2. And that's a great way. Not even the blip of static on that. So that's the perfect signal. So if you can get the 97.9, get over there. That's the box. But you hit plus on your radio, and you get the best signal in the city. Okay? So there you have it. Rockets last night blow another lead. Man, oh, man, they are up by 17 in the fourth quarter, and it comes down to a one-point game in the final minute. It just has got to – they're so cardiac kids-ish how at the end of every game it's like a vital play is needed to win a game or a missed free throw or whatever. So that's something. If you got one criticism of this basketball team, that's it. But the athleticism – on the road, the way that they're playing, they don't care. They're playing in best teams. They're playing. They don't care. It doesn't matter who. Night in and night out, it's somebody different. Last night, Jay Sean played a huge role. The other night, Steven Adams. Dylan Brooks is hitting 10 threes. Amen is doing his. It's incredible. It's somebody different. Jalen took a few games off. Jalen was back last night. Dropping. Well, not. He wasn't dropping threes, that's for sure. 1-for-9 from three, but he was still a huge difference maker in the game. So this is a fun team. This is a team that shoots better than the Cougs, but they play with the same type of intensity. Well, I don't know that Kelvin could stand the fourth quarters that the Rockets are putting up, but
no, but all teams shoot better than the Cougs. To be fair,
although they've shot better this year. They shot better this year.
Yeah.
You got to give them Emmanuel Sharp.
Well, Sharp has helped out.
And LJ has been.
This is a lot like one of those Astro saves from Josh Hader or Ryan Pressly, where the Astros have a three-run lead and then end up winning by one, and he gets the save.
Well, yeah, right. Or they go extra innings and win.
With one of those bumpy ninth innings or something.
Right. Right. No, it absolutely is. Speaking of, did you see Dana Brown said that the relationship between he and Pressly soured because of the Josh Hader deal?
Uh-huh.
can happen. He said they stayed professional, but it absolutely affected their relationship.
Absolutely. There's always a chance that could, you know, the same way that if you brought somebody into this Rocket team, because they're not from here. They're not from the sewer. They're not from the right. muck like Amen, and especially Alperin and Jalen and Jayshon. These guys were here for the mud. They came from the mud. And if you come in and you try to be one of the top dogs right off the bat, it can cause static.
Do you remember in the movie Miracle when after they went through that grueling pre-Olympics, that grind that they went through, and Kurt Russell was going to bring on a star player that hadn't gone through it, and they got off the bus and they told Kurt Russell, no, we're all in this together. He hasn't been here. You know what? That's the same, right?
Astros did that with Justin Verlander.
It was Herb Brooks, not really Kurt Russell, but it was Kurt
not
Russell.
Really Kurt, yeah, Russell didn't really do that. But what about when the Astros told Justin Verlander, when Carlos Correa said, hey, get out of here. You're not welcome here in this dugout. You weren't here all year. Beat it.
No, well, yeah, there was some truth to that. There is no, there absolutely. I don't. He didn't say it like that.
In 2022.
Right. So
actually, no, not 2022, because he was already gone.
That was 21.
Carlos was gone. That was 21. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah. So you got to be there, and you. So you, De'Aaron Fox, no. Jimmy Butler,
no.
You're out.
No. Oh, I'm out. I'm out. For what? Is there a problem? Like, is there a problem right now we need to fix?
No. Well, yeah. Fourth
quarters. Am I unaware of a big problem the Rockets have?
Fourth quarters. Yeah, maybe okay. Jimmy Butler changes that.
Jimmy, what Butler. Do you lose with that? What do you lose
Jimmy
with that?
Butler.
I mean, another I like the fact that Jimmy Butler hates every team he's on. That's always a positive.
Yeah right. No, you don't need that attitude in here. I mean, does anybody need that attitude? Dell doesn't even want him. He doesn't care what he gets from him now. Doesn't even want him. I mean, that's how bad it is. And you know what? Is it getting like that with De'Aaron Fox in Sacramento? it's a foregone conclusion. He's gone. I mean, so that I don't know if he burned that bridge or whatever the case may be, but De'Aaron Fox will not be there. I don't even know that I want De'Aaron Fox instead of Jalen right now.
I don't.
No.
I don't have there is no problem with the Rockets right now. Don't be in a hurry to fix a problem that doesn't exist. That's the worst thing you can do. Just make a move to make a move. Don't do that. No trades. If you want to get rid of a Rocket to lighten up the minutes forever, you know, that's fine. If Whitmore has to go, he has to go. If you want to move Jayshon, you can move Jayshon. But this can't be a – and if you want to do nothing, that is totally cool. That's totally cool. What you don't do is mess with the core. Don't break up the top eight guys. Not right now.
Yeah, no, do not.
Not for Booker, not for Fox, not for anybody. Nobody. I'm not doing it for anybody. These guys are playing together. They seem to love each other. They play hard. They defend. Let this team cook. Let them cook.
Yep. Absolutely. Let this team. Hey, you can't do it right now, that's for sure. Not after this run. No way. Keep it going, boys. Keep it going. They. I'm telling you, though, there was a thought that you need to do something to get over the hump. Maybe you don't need to do anything to get over the hump. Maybe there's nothing to be done here.
That's why you don't rush. You don't rush it, man. There's no – how can anyone make a decision about getting over the hump when you're in the middle of a season and you're just – and you weren't – like, what hump are you trying to get over when you weren't even in the playoffs last year? You weren't even in the – you know, you weren't even in the play-ins. What hump have you really – you haven't even run into.
Well, aren't your expectations different right now than they were, though? I know that
– they're different because of how good you played.
But right now – right now, you think this team?
You don't have a hump.
This team
you just went from 11
the Western
to 2.
Conference.
You went from 11 to 2. What hump did you face?
Well, you faced the hump of going
no
from
hump
miserable.
Yeah, you've
to,
done it. Yeah. You've done it with no help from anybody else. Don't put it. Don't put make believe. That's the thing, man. Don't put a make believe problem in front of you. There's no hump to get over yet. They're literally. Just process. It's in the middle of a process to get better and better. And they're in the middle of it. So there's not a hump is what James Harden and that Rocket team faced with with Golden State Warriors. It's what the Rockets had when they were trying to get past Seattle, like when they were a championship team. You don't, you're not even close to being at that point yet, where you just can't get past a certain team. What team
do you have a hard time? If you did have somebody that you thought would put you over the top, plenty of teams have done that. that you added a piece that you thought, well, this will help us against a certain opponent.
At this age where everyone's 23 or younger?
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. How about, yeah, that's the problem. But you've locked them up, actually. You locked up Jalen. You locked up Alperen. So you're in a good spot as far as that goes. You're not up against the clock with those guys. Yeah,
absolutely. I feel like everything you're talking about, John, is not a real problem. You don't have real problems this year. Even before this, and I'm not saying this as a four game run or whatever, where all of a sudden we're on this crazy high. They've been here all year long. Let's see what actually happens.
Maybe the organization is thinking, you know what? So we're ranking the playoffs. So we're the second seed. We want to win a championship this year. We think we can win one this year. And if they think that somebody can put them over that hump, that's the goal, not just, oh, we're better now. No, we want to win it this year.
What is the rush? Is this planet incinerating next year? Is this the last year you're playing basketball?
What in the world
is this year have to do?
A lot of people are leaving this country right now, Lance. You don't know.
If they leave, they won't get to see the Rockets. Yes, they will. Everyone, you can still watch the Rockets internationally. It's not a big deal through streaming packages. What in the world is, we've got to do it this year. What if we don't do it this year? I think they're playing next year. I think all your players are still young and getting better. I don't know what the problem is for the Rockets. I just get frustrated with these make-believe problems that the Rockets have. They don't, like, let these guys play. Man, and I know we're just talking hypotheticals, but I actually believe that what you're telling me is the Rockets want to make it, like, they're itching to make a trade. I think they just want to make a
trade. No. I'm not saying that. I haven't talked to anybody in the organization about it in a while, so I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, listen, the word was out there before. Now, maybe, listen, it changes. You have to look at this team differently this past week than you looked at them for the past 6 years. You have to look at, from the past week, things have changed. And you know what? This team has proven that it could play at the highest level. So maybe you don't have to do anything.
They had proved it before then. They had already proved it. They were, like, nothing has changed, in my opinion. They're still a good team. They just got some good wins. Does everything change if they lose three in a row? Then all of a sudden we'll say, everything's changed. This team can't get over the hump. This knee-jerk reaction to small sample size of games, we got to stop it. We just have to, hey, man, this is a great run. They're playing really good basketball. I already know who they are. They're a team that can beat anybody out there. They're also young and make mistakes in the fourth quarter. And they've got things that they're still trying to work through that you can't artificially speed up. You have to learn to play a certain way. And that'll come with time and reps and games. But, man, this team is in phenomenal shape. It's just like the Astros were. Now, the Astros made a good – now, they didn't have to trade away any of their good pieces for Justin Verlander. That's the difference in baseball, is comparing the Astros to the Rockets. Like, in baseball, you can give away guys who aren't even – like Vipers. You'd be giving away Viper players for another player. But you only have five starters. A starting pitcher is a really big deal. That's why the build-out of the Rockets is different than the build-out of the Astros, because I think that with the Rockets, you might have enough to win a championship. You actually might. I think you still need some fine-tuning. I wouldn't mind a bigger rim runner and a more impactful shot blocker. That's why the Robert Williams thing was kind of interesting to me. Because I think, now Steven Adams has done a great job. In the short term, he's been fantastic lately. Tough guy, strong, physical. I can't really point to, like, can you point to? Maybe a little better shooting point guard? A guy who was a spot-up shooter that was shot at a higher rate than Fred, is that what they could use? What do you think they're missing?
I think they might be missing hair. And if that's the case, then they should call Doc Linville. Okay, that's what I think they might be missing. We can continue this conversation on the other side, but right now, Doc Linville is the guy. Doc Linville is, and even if you're young, and you're starting to see that bald spot starting to get white. Dude, it ain't going to all of a sudden close itself. It ain't, okay? Just so you know, I did it, and everybody was like, ooh, that bald spot's getting bigger. Ooh, that bald spot's getting yeah, shut up. Shut your face. And you know what? Doc Linville, shut him up. Shut them up, Doc. That's what he does, okay? Because your buddies are all, ooh. And then, yeah, you're just not, I don't want to say you're not as attractive without hair, but listen, the ladies love to run their hands through that hair, that thick hair, okay? And if you want it, that way, you can stimulate your own growth with the PRP, or you can get the neografting, which is the best process. I did the other process before where they cut and paste. It's awful, awful, awful. Doc Linville's is the best. So, I did it. I want you to do it. If you're looking for the best way to get hair, okay, there's one way. Don't let it go too long. If you let it go too long, it's going to be too big a job. Do it. Cut it off now. Now. Nip it in the bud right now at 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. We got people who want to talk, okay? We got callers lined up. If you want to get in after somebody gets on, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. So who was first up? David is first up. Hey, David.
Hey, man. I just walked in McDonald's. Okay, so bear with me. Listen, real quick. I'm with Lance on don't touch what the team is, because what the problem is that so many people are, this new generation want everything done overnight. It started with LeBron and all this matching up teams, and you got to win it now. And you go back to like when Jordan persevered and made it over Detroit. And finally, once they got in, they never let go. You let the team grow together and win together. Stop all this overnight, instant oatmeal stuff. Okay, I got to go. I'm sorry, just be ready.
All right, well, that's true. And by the way, I don't want them to change anything either. I'm just saying. Listen, and Todd made a pretty good point with us. He said before the season started, Tillman said you got to have a couple of stars. You got to have a couple of stars to win a championship. Well, turns out they might have those stars right on the team.
You might have three stars.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it may be that you're finding out, oh, yeah, we do have stars on the team. And they're guys that we drafted, that we put it all together. This is how Golden State did it. But even Michael Jordan, he was 8 years before, you know, it all came together because Scottie Pippen was added. And, you know, and they put together the right pieces and got it done. But it took a while. And you had, and there are some additions that you have to make. But no, yeah, I'm all for it. I want to see this. I love this team the way it is right now. You know, I know Jalen is still inconsistent, but you know what? When he's really good, it's great. It's great. So we'll see. I think they got one star for sure and a budding star in Amen. They got Alpie. Alpie is a star. Alpie deserves to be on this All-Star team. He's one of the best guys in the league. His wins above replacement is better than Giannis. It's better than Wembanyama. It's better than most everybody because he's sixth in the league and wins above replacement. He needs to be rewarded for that now, right now. He is a star, and that's, you know what, Tillman, you got one already for sure, and I think you got a couple more in the making. Who's next, Del? Gary is next. Hey, Gary.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, I'm not going to bore everybody with a bunch of CBA and second apron talk, but I agree. Like, I'd like to see this season play out and see what we can do. It looks promising. But the fact of the matter is, like, we have to trade somebody, like, because we can't – it's just not possible to pay everybody. Like, we're not the Dodgers. The NBA system is not set up like that. Like, as you see with Minnesota, right, they traded Carl Anthony Towns, not because they necessarily wanted to. Like, they may have made the wrong decisions, but we already have Fred – Alfie, Jalen already making money. We can't pay like Tari, Bar. We can't pay like five different people. So at some point, we're going to have to consolidate these assets. Also, with the salary cap, Like, you just can't let Fred walk and then just replace his salary. So it's more into it than us just, like, wanting to make a trade. I think at some point we're going to have to just for, like, efficiently running the team.
Well, can't you let him walk and then use that money for Amen Thompson?
Yeah, like, I mean,
you don't have
Fred
to.
Fred frees up a lot of money.
You don't have to replace Fred's money with somebody else making that money. Fred's money needs to go, to be dispersed amongst Amen, Tari, and those guys.
Yeah, he listen, you got an out on him. It's not like you have to replace the money. You can use that money after Fred goes. That's 40 right there. So, but do you have a replacement for Fred? In Ime's mind, you might not. The Ime's mind, you're as good as you are right now, in large part because of Fred. So Fred might.
Is that true though? Is that true?
Like, it is true. Fred is a 35. He said it multiple times.
Fred's a 35. I know, but is it actually? Is that factual? Fred is a 35% 3-point shooter who is a high volume 3-point shooter. He shoots a lot of threes, almost 9 a game. He makes them at a low rate relative to expectations for a good shooter. He shoots 40% from the field. He does get steals. He does have a pretty good assist to turnover rate. He's not a high assist guy, but they don't run an offense where the point guard is going to, you know, set up guys for quick scores. So, I mean, is Fred indispensable? What Fred gives you is this indispensable? The great Fred VanVleet, the $40 million Fred, is this? You really can't replace that?
Well, he feels that way, and he's more important.
I'm asking
you,
do you think you can? Because Ime might be wrong on that. Let's assume that Ime thinks it, and he could be wrong.
Yeah, but there's more to players than just their numbers.
I know there is, but you just told me that you were just telling me wins over replacement for Alperin. What's Fred's win over replacement?
Not that high.
Well, then why is it good for one stat and not good for another, not mattering the other?
Well, here is an example of why you may value Fred. Late in that game yesterday, they put the ball in Jalen Green's hands. They wanted him to initiate the offense as the Hawks are trying to make their comeback. He turned the ball over twice. He was complaining about fouls. He didn't get foul calls. He turned the ball over. So if you don't have a trustworthy player at the end of the game to initiate offense, it may be a reason he values Fred, because Fred doesn't turn the ball over.
Yes, that it is a problem right now. Fred is – that's an area – but I don't think that's a reason that you pay a guy $46, $48 million next year because he doesn't turn it over as much in the fourth quarter. That's not a good enough reason to pay somebody $40-plus million. His e-field goal percentage and true shooting is down this year for his career. Free throw percentage down. Field goal percentage down. His PER – His efficiency rating is down. Everything is down. Fred is having a regression year this year relative to what he's done for his entire career. He's not a good – he's a volume shooter, never been a good two-point shooter. Never in his career has he been a good two-point shooter. He's a volume three-point shooter, but historically for his career he's 37%, but he shot significantly lower for the Rockets. So he hasn't been a good shooter for the Rockets from three. Like, I'm trying to figure out why Fred has all this value, or is this an emotional attachment? Last year he shot 38%, so I take it back. He was better last year from three than he is this year at 34%. This year is the lowest he's ever been in his career. Well, his last year at Toronto is the same, 34-2, 34-7. His two-point field goal percentage right now is, you know, about what he always is.
Well, in January, he's shooting 40%. But this is not it. He feels like he's the glue. He starts the offense. He feels like he's the calming factor. He feels like he can count on him in pressure situations. Listen, it's not only the number of threes that he hits. It's when he hits them. And we've seen him hit some big threes for this team, some big threes in the final minutes. For whatever reason, maybe you don't value him as much. I don't value him as much, but Ime does. Ime's the guy that's with him every day. A coach and his point guard are, that's a relationship that you got. Coach and quarterback, coach and point guard, coach and catcher. I mean, those are relationships that you feel like Why do you think Dusty like Maldonado was so loyal to why do you think Dusty was so loyal to
That's
Maldonado?
Right. So did that make sense?
It did to Dusty.
No, I'm not asking you that. Did it make sense for baseball purposes?
But we don't
was Dusty
know.
Too emotional?
Then listen. Why did every pitcher want to throw to Maldonado?
I get it, but emotion.
Every one of them did.
But there's
more to it than just the numbers. There's more to it than just the numbers.
Getting 27 outs versus making sure you don't turn it over in the fourth quarter is different.
Well, that's not the only reason. He feels like he runs the offense better the whole game.
No, you're right. It's going to be this emotional thing that you just say, by all means, pay Fred as much as you can possibly give him. Well, I think he's a very replaceable player. I just think Fred is a replaceable player, and we put too much emotion into the small. Fred is also one of the most inefficient, highly erratic shooters that we have on this team. Yep. They call him, Jihad Fred? Because he's bombs away with misses and all that stuff.
That's
a nickname to have for him out there.
Doesn't mean you have to say it.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
That's all over social media.
You can be better. You don't even like social media. Yeah. You can be better. Yeah, you don't have to lean into that.
No, that's just terrible. Let's take a break and let's call HR. Let's call HR&P and find out where we are in this. Okay, why don't you talk about Zadik Jewelers right now? Because we just don't need you, denigrating Fred like that.
In losses, Fred VanVleet shooting 27% from three. In other words, he's the reason they're losing. Zadik Jewelers. Sometimes I think to myself, man, things are going good. Why is John getting me upset about things? I don't know. My life is going well. I'm happy. Why do I get upset? And I'm like, you know what? I should try and find a way to segue this into a Zadik Jewelers. And so the best way to do that is just to make the wife happy, because happy wife, happy life. I got Valentine's Day coming up. I'm sitting here in Mobile, Alabama. Next, I'll be in Indianapolis at the Combine. I don't go home 7 days a week at my office working on these draft profiles. I get home until 7:30 or 8 sometimes. And the wife does all the stuff that she has to do to put the slack for me. She deserves a great present from Zadik Jewelers for Valentine's Day. And frankly, even if it wasn't Valentine's Day, she deserves that. And now it comes time where I have to go into Zadik and I talk to the experts there. What would be a great gift for this? And what are you looking to spend? What is your budget? I tell them, and then they'll show me different things. They'll show me what the hottest name brands are, designers are, and what the designs that are the coolest designs, and what metals are, or the metals that women really love right now. They do all that. They get you great prices, but most importantly, they get you amazing jewelry at every step of the way. Earrings, diamond engagement rings, necklaces, pendants, bracelets. It doesn't matter. Zadik Jewelers, 28,000 square feet, right there at 1801 Post Oak Boulevard. For more information, go to the website and check them out for yourself at Zadik.com.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN. The HRP called and said Lance could continue the show, but he has been censored. He has been censored. So he just turned his camera off.
It wasn't me. I think HRP just turned my
HRP?
Camera off.
HRP shut your camera off?
Yeah, because what I was saying was, look, if you're going to.
I see he's been censored. let's get Chris in the Woodlands in here. Hey, Chris, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show. Hey. I really like to talk, and I know you guys mentioned it briefly, but one of the things I think that's important when we think about the Rockets trade, John, and you're going to know this really well. Whenever we initially traded for Verlander the first time, Detroit wanted Tucker, right? And didn't we hold past that to like the very last minute, and then we didn't give him up? Am I thinking about that right?
Well, he had always said Tucker's out. He and Forrest Whitley, gotcha. They were not untouchable. That was something. I don't know that it came down to Tucker with Detroit. I'm not sure. It all came down to Verlander last minute. Verlander was the one who, because of his no trade clause, he was the one that they had to convince.
Gotcha. One of the things I was thinking about is there's obviously a few players we should mark as untouchable, but then there are some that I would say that we could put in there, just not giving it too much. But my real question is around the GM thing. You guys talked the last segment about paying people. Wanted to get your opinion. What makes a better GM grade, drafting the class like we did with Stingley and some of those guys last year that we're going to have to pay, and even with the Rockets with Amen, or figuring out the salary cap to keep them long term, because I see that's going to be our next struggle, is figuring out both for the Texans and the Rockets on how to maintain salary caps. And is that the GM's job to do that, or do they have a team around them? And I just want to get some insight on how you think that that could play out over the next couple of years. Thanks, guys. Love the show.
Yep. Well, you got to decide what your priorities are. That's first, right? You got to say, okay, we're going to keep this guy. And there are guys that you're going to have to let go. Guys are going to have to go, and you have to make the best decision. That's the GM, absolutely. But the owner is the one that's going to say, yeah, I'll give him that money. You ain't doing no big deal with no player without the owner's saying it's okay, without him agreeing to it. So, but the it's the and if the in the Cowboys case, it's Jerry. It's all Jerry, right? He's making both decisions. In a lot of most cases, though, it's the general manager going in and saying, this is why we're doing this. This is what we believe. This guy's going to be long-term, whatever, blah, 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 blah. Let's pay this guy and let's let this guy go, right?
You have a cap guy. So in football, it's just different. In basketball, you're just stuck. Guys are valued at what they're valued at, and there's not a whole lot of wiggle room. So in baseball, you can try to sign guys early at discounted long-term rates for more expensive short-term payouts, which the Astros have utilized that. In football, you have the most wiggle room. You can convert future years into cash, and so you can pay them up front, and you can lower your cap hit. In basketball, you're just kind of stuck. Whatever guys make, they make. There's not really a difference in payroll, like whatever their average salary is their average salary over the course of that contract. It's all guaranteed. So in basketball, to me, it's not about cap. It's about finding the best players and then figuring out who you're going to stick with. In football, a cap guy can really work wonders with the general manager. In basketball, I don't even know if there's a need for a cap guy. Like, your best players get max dollars. I mean, Fred VanVleet got a max dollar contract just because they had money to spend. Like, not because he was a max dollar player. He just happened to be right place, the right time, for the right need, which was a veteran performer who could lead a team and all that. And he's definitely served his purpose over these 2 years. But nowhere in the market is Fred, like, I was surprised to see, relative to the marketplace, Fred would be worth over $30 million, for sure. And that's kind of crazy to me, is that this is what a $30 million player looks like, until I start thinking about $30 million quarterbacks. And I realize, that's just the cost of doing, that's just the price of doing business now. $30 million gets you, in basketball and football, kind of average players sometimes, at certain positions. Typically, a $20 million wide receiver is a pretty good player for the most part. Yeah. In basketball, it ain't that hard to get $25, $30 million in basketball.
No, it is. No, it ain't.
For me, it is, but not for those guys.
Speaking of, did you see this Dove climate? Okay, I just want to get off the beaten path for just a second here. Conference championships since realignment in 2002 in the NFL. The Patriots have been to 12 conference championship games. 12. The 49ers have been to 7. The Eagles have been to 7. The Chiefs have been to 7. The Packers have been to 6. The Steelers, 5. Name the 4 teams that have not been to a conference championship game since 2002.
Well, the Texans.
1.
Since 2002. Jaguars? No.
Nope.
Yeah, Jaguars.
They've been there. The Jaguars
since 2002?
Have been. The Jaguars.
Oh,
went
yeah,
one
the
year.
Blake Bortles year.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got there at Blake Bortles. Okay, how many teams are there?
4.
All right, Cleveland Browns.
Cleveland?
Jets.
Nope, the Jets have gotten there. They got 2.
Okay, they, Texans.
Yeah, Mark Sanchez got there, remember?
Wait a minute. Yeah, Bills got there. So it's Texans. Titans have gotten there.
Titans have gotten
there. Raiders. No, Raiders have gotten there.
Raiders have gotten there.
Falcons?
Nope, they've gotten there. They've gotten there 3 times.
Oh, Chargers haven't gotten there.
Yeah, Chargers got there once.
God almighty. The Giants have gotten there. The Eagles have gotten there. The Cowboys. Oh, Washington. No, Washington just,
Just got there.
Washington just got there. Well, who the hell's left?
Well, you just named one of those teams that you just named has not been there.
Who?
The Cowboys.
Oh, my God, that's right.
They have not been. The Cowboys and Dell, can you name the other team?
They don't win playoff games.
Dell, can you name the other team?
No, I can't. I don't know the other team.
It's the Dolphins.
What a
disgrace. Dolphins haven't won a playoff game since 2002. Haven't won a playoff game. How about that? The Cowboys have not been to a conference championship game since 2002, since realignment. Texans, Browns, Dolphins. We've never gotten the Dolphins or the Cowboys, never. And here they are. I mean, and we talk about, oh, the Texans can't get there. The Cowboys blow.
Why do you want to keep comparing yourself to a team who you say sucks?
They suck.
Who are you? Well, that's not a bar that you
want. I just want Dr. Dre to know.
This is an awful bar. We know the Cowboys stink and they run horribly. They shouldn't be the comp. It's like saying
the most expensive team in
sports.
Who cares?
They're spending money poorly. Stop.
They're
the Cowboys are terrible.
They're
stop.
Bad people.
Stop comparing
their
your Texans to
people.
Them. That's not
they're
a good
bad.
Comp.
They're awful people.
You're supposed to be reaching higher
not,
than we're better than
not
the Cowboys.
Serious. They are not serious people.
Exactly. So why is that a bar? Reach higher than the Cowboys. We know they're terrible.
Well, I'm just saying, all you, what a great organization. You're just like
who
us.
Who says that?
You suck.
Who says that about the Cowboys?
They say that.
Who? Who's they?
Love
they?
Themselves,
who's they?
Cowboys
who's they?
Fans.
Who's they?
Cowboy fans.
They just hired Schottenheimer. They don't say that anymore.
But they
don't they even shouldn't. Say that anymore.
They shouldn't. They're bad.
I
people.
Heard Kyle Brandt. You know what? Kyle Brandt actually made a pretty good point. No one wanted Deion because Deion is too flashy. It's not a real hire. No one wants Schottenheimer because he's too boring. No one's excited. He's the son of Marty Schottenheimer, for whatever that's worth. He's coached under some really good coaches. Like, is the anti-Brandt Schottenheimer thing just because he's just a boring hire? I think it is. I think it's mostly like, what's the number one complaint about Brian Schottenheimer?
Boring.
Or his offense is good?
Really good.
What? Like, Mike McCarthy called plays for the Cowboys the last couple years, right?
Even so, I don't know if Brian Schottenheimer is going to be the play caller.
So even though he had OC as his title, I think McCarthy.
Yeah, but Aaron Glenn's not calling defense.
No, but my point is, what's the appeal of Schottenheimer other than Jerry knows him? Like, you ask why people are down. Why
he can be his puppet. That's why.
Well, that's for Jerry, but he's asking why are people down on Schottenheimer. Why would anyone be hyped on Schottenheimer?
Because it's it's another puppet coach. That's why.
Well, he was an offensive coordinator for Seattle from 18 to 20. How did they do?
I don't remember what those offenses look like.
I don't either.
Yeah. No one does. He was the Jaguars coordinator in 21. How'd they do?
Well, I don't know. He was a passing game coordinator. I don't know. That's when Trevor first started, so you can't really – like, that team had nothing. Remember, they were awful. But the next year, they actually were pretty good.
Then he was a coaching analyst for the Cowboys. Then he was offensive coordinator in name only. And now he's the head coach. That's why. What's he done? I mean, he's going to say, yes, Jerry, yes, Jerry, yes, Jerry. That's great. Congratulations, Cowboys. Congratulations. You're moving forward. Big, big, nice hire. Big hire. Congratulations. You suck. Time to talk about Aqueduct Plumbing. And if your toilet's not sucking it down, then you need Billy. Okay? All right? That's right. If your toilet, if that brown won't go down, Billy's here for you. Okay? And that's a problem. I'm certain that there's plenty of people out there during the freeze that you had a pipe problem. I'm hoping that you all called Aqueduct Plumbing, 281-488-6238. Because plumbers don't have a great reputation. I don't know what plumber came to your home. But if you didn't call Aqueduct Plumbing Company, I can tell you, you might not have gotten a square deal. I know you're going to get a square deal from Billy. We do, Lance. We love Billy. We love what he stands for. We love that he's not going to charge people to just show up and give them an evaluation.
No, he's going to get the job done. And when he comes out there, there's no charge. He's going to tell you what's going on, and he expects you to use him because his service is transparent. His pricing's transparent, and what he does for you is he gets it done the right way the first time, from the big job to the small job and all jobs in between. Diagnosing the problem is what they specialize in, and doing it quickly for you. That's Aqueduct Plumbing Company. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.